Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget about the Sunbury Motors Service Department. Great as always. Okay, our play-by-play call of the day. Loyola of Chicago with Sister Jean watching makes it to the Final Four.
Here they come. Up. One timeout, they don't take it. Magic as the Ramblers from Loyola Chicago moving on. Their first NCAA tournament victory in 33 years. Here comes the player of the year, the MVC rises. Oh, he's got it! And the dream is alive! Loyola rambling on to the Sweet 16! Custer. Over, kicks it. Towns for three. Marcus Towns! Game after game after game for the Ramblers. Somebody is hitting a big shot late. Loyola Chicago moving on to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, and you know what? Eventually, what does everyone remember about that? Sister Jean. Everyone remembers her. Well, we are very pleased to be joined by Dana O'Neill. Dana, it's great to hear you. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we talked.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a couple of years, but it's been a couple of weeks, I guess, if you say so. Steve, it feels like...
Yeah, I know it does feel like forever. It feels like it's been 3 years. You've written a lot of fascinating articles. I want to start with the one about wives at home. And suddenly the husbands are home. And the husbands in this case are Danny Hurley at UConn, Tom Izzo, and, yes, Jim Boeheim. I found that article to be fascinating.
Thank you. That kind of, you know, came out of my own house because, let's be honest, number one, I'm not supposed to be here, so my husband probably should have had an opinion added in there because I'm not supposed to be home for the month of March. And I got to thinking, you've got all these cooped-up coaches who have idle time and don't do idle well, and it's got to be exhausting. And I called them early in the process. I'm almost tempted to call them back and say, how you doing? It's probably worse at this point. But yeah, I mean, they were hilarious. They, you know, they were just trying to find little odd jobs for their puttering husbands to do, none of whom are very handy. And I was delighted to learn that Jim Boeheim occasionally watches the Hallmark Channel. Who knew?
I was about to bring that up because, first of all, Julie Boeheim is everybody would tell you, is delightful. I mean, he's great personality. But the fact that she revealed that out of nowhere, guess who is now peeking in to see how Lacey Chabert is doing?
Wait, are you a closet watcher? How do you know Lacey Chabert? Come on, that's pretty
everybody knows.
There,
everybody.
Okay.
Hey, I'm married. Are you kidding me? I know.
Yeah, she was very funny talking about just, you know, she'll have it on and Jim will occasionally peek in and she catches him watching it for a while. So, yeah, my favorite, of course, was Andrea Hurley, who just threw Danny Hurley under the bus and rolled over him about 35 times talking about what a germaphobe he is and
yes,
the extent to which she has to go to keep her house clean and keep him happy. She said that when I spoke to him, he was down in the gym working out. And she said, if you remember when you had an infant and you put him down for a nap and that was your time, she's like, this is my time. He's gone out of my hair for 45 minutes.
45 minutes, oh my goodness.
A piece.
Yeah. And then Tom Izzo's cleaning out the garage or
correct.
His office
Tom
or something.
Tom Izzo's at least relatively handy. He was cleaning out the garage and at one point was rearranging his sock drawer. So that's pretty desperate, but, you know, these are the things we're all doing, I think.
Yeah, that's what we're all doing right now. Yesterday, the NCAA did say, and it was expected, no on winter athletes made sense, but yes on spring athletes and their ability to come back next year if they want. But it's a pretty wide-open ruling. Number one, this is probably the most anybody's written about spring sports in a long time.
Right.
What did you think of the ruling and also how open it is? Because you may not end up with the same quarter you had before.
Right. I think it's the right decision with all the best of intentions. I mean, unlike winter sport athletes who had kind of gone through their process of their regular season and were sort of at the end, spring sports were just getting started. My husband's an athletic trainer at Princeton, and their lacrosse team was five games in. So I understand. I think it's the right thing to do. It is wildly complicated, as you said. I think they did the right thing. They're not counting returning seniors toward the scholarship limit, so you don't go over. Therefore, you don't have to deny a freshman who's coming in a spot because a senior's coming back. I think that's easy. The question becomes squishy is with the finances. Some of these kids, especially the seniors, may not get any scholarship at all. They may not get as much as they got. So that's going to become very difficult because you're looking at sports. I think people don't understand this, and I think it's important. Spring sports, for the most part, don't get full scholarships. The coach gets, like, here's a pile of money. Divide it as best you see fit. So your best player might get this much, and someone else might get books, and someone else might get books in a little bit. And so they're sort of piecing this pie as it is, and now they're going to have to redo it again. And it's really going to be difficult. I do think, you know, I think one thing lost in the weeds there was the NCAA talking about those who don't get scholarship money can appeal to the student assistance fund. And I don't think people know about that. And last year, I looked. They gave out $18 million for basically student-athletes facing various kinds of financial hardships. So hopefully, if you're a returning senior who finds that your $5,000 a year gift or, you know, grant aid or whatever has been cut to zero, you can apply for that $5,000 back. Not all of it, but it's something. So it's going to be wildly complicated, and I understand, you know, how difficult it's going to be. I don't mean to make light of that, but I do think it was the right thing to do.
Well, it is complicated, but there's another part, too. I mean, if you're a student athlete and your family, you have to make a decision as to whether you want to pay for another two semesters of school, because you still are going to have to pay for some of this yourself.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's part of the right, because they're not getting full rides. So basically, it's going to come down to a financial, situation for a lot of people. I mean, hopefully they can apply for other kinds of financial aid and things that regular students go through. But again, do you want to add another year of burden of student loans, you know, to your docket? You know, it's difficult. I mean, I don't know how many students are going to actually be able to take advantage of it. But I think this is the only solution that the NCAA could offer, because to deny them entirely wouldn't be fair. To give them all of the money, then you would be denying incoming freshmen who've already made commitments and plans to come next semester. That's not fair. There was no solution that was going to be clean and easy. So basically they're saying, listen, if you want to come back and you can afford to come back, you're welcome to come back. And again, it's not perfect. It's absolutely not perfect, but I don't know how else they could have done it.
It also sounds like the next, you can correct me on this, the next two issues they want to tackle in some order would be name, image, likeness, and then the one-time transfer, get to play right away. Is that sound to you like what they want to do is the next couple of steps, at least talk about it?
Yeah, I think in reverse order, probably. I think the transfer thing will probably get satisfied much more, you know, because of name, image, and likeness.
Okay.
They still have some more, I think, you know, hoops to jump through to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. The transfer thing, though, boy, I mean, as you've seen already this year, I mean, I think we're over 400 basketball players are already in the transfer portal. As it's the only place that's not social distancing is the NCAA transfer portal. It's packed. You know, so, and I think this is part of, you know, this circumstance of all this upset with this season and what's going to happen and people don't know. So I think they're going to try to figure out the one-time transfer thing. And again, like, do I think it's right that guys should be allowed to play college basketball without sitting out like pretty much every other sport can? Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I don't think it's fair that basketball is kind of picked on. But at the same time, I understand why coaches fret it, because, look, there's already tampering going on, and we'd be naive to think so, not to think so. And it's just going to make it worse. So the hope is that, you know, my thought is it'll get messy for a year or so, and then it goes back to the mean, but it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, no, and that's usually what happens with some of these rules.
Yes.
It gets messy for a year, and then it sorts itself out.
That's what I think will happen.
Way.
I mean, we all fretted when everyone, like when they gave high schoolers a chance to go right to the NBA, everyone's going to go. Well, a few guys went to the NBA and discovered, oh, crud, I'm not ready, I'm not good enough, and they were the sacrificial lambs, if you will, and other people made intelligent decisions. And everyone might transfer, and they're all going to, some people are going to decide, you know what, I'm not playing any more than I thought. Like, he promised me I was going to play 20 minutes. I'm only playing four. I'm basically insurance. It wasn't worth it. So we're going to have a couple of sacrificial lambs here for a couple of years who make you realize that just because you transfer and can play immediately doesn't guarantee you're going to play 35 minutes. You know, the grass is not always greener no matter what a coach sells you on, because let's be honest, these guys are good salesmen.
Yeah, there's no question. And what this has done over time is that the Power Five, there's some guys get skipped over. Somebody else gets recruited. Somebody else wants a one and done. So the Power Five gets their guys. And then what happens is somebody, let's just pick a guy. Andrew Rousey is a great example. Was at Wilmington, 1,000-point scorer, 2 years. Transfers to Marquette, so that's Power Six. Scores 1,000 points for them. Mm-hmm. Wilmington loses out on him. And what happens in some ways is that under the radar guy, they do a good job of developing him because he's good enough to be anyway,
right.
And then boom, he moves.
Yeah, but for every one of him, there's a guy that's going to be like a 12-point a game scorer at wherever, Siena. Let's put it out there.
Yep.
And he's pretty good.
Yep.
And he's got the potential to be better. And some bigger name coach comes in and says, "Yo, come on, you're going to get more minutes here. You're going to get more exposure, and you're going to score 18 points a game." And he gets there, and lo and behold, he can't beat out the guy in front of him,
right.
And he's playing 10 minutes a game, and he's going to average six points a game. So was
he's
it worth
eighth,
it? Nope.
He's the eighth. He's the eighth guy.
Right. Exactly.
Right. But the coach is.
So I think
but
there's
coach,
more of them than success.
Right.
Is my guess.
Right. And what happens is the coach is sitting back and say, "Hey, those 8 to 10 minutes, boy, he really helped us." And the kid
That's
is
right.
saying, "I thought I was getting 28
That's right.
minutes.
Yeah, and the coach is like, "I got a good guy coming off the bench and spells my guy. It's a win for him, but it's not necessarily a win for what the kid wanted." So I do think that, yeah, it's going to get really ugly, and there's going to be some tampering, some free agency type things going on for a couple of years. And then in like 3 years, we're going to look back and say, "All right, people have gotten the message, like, you know, there's probably about 2% that this is actually a good thing for, and the other 98%, they're better off sticking right where they were."
Yeah, most times that is exactly how it works out anyway.
Yep.
You also did a column on best game you ever saw, and I just watched the game the other day. It was the Duke-Kentucky game. And I'm looking behind the bench, and I see Rich Scarcella. All of a sudden, I see DJ, right? I'm looking through, like, all, and of course, everybody looks a little younger.
A little different.
A little different. And you ended up covering that, but there was an interesting circumstance that got you to cover it, and it turned out to be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, because I was 2 years out of college, I had no business being there. Like, not only just being at that particular game, I really shouldn't have been covering the Elite Eight. But I was at the Trentonium, which is like a tabloid local paper in Trenton. You know, I spent the summer covering Little League Baseball. You know, I covered Princeton, what was then called Trenton State Rider College. You know, very local parochial newspaper. I should not really have been covering that. I think, as well as I can figure it out, Seton Hall was in the Sweet 16 at that regional in the Spectrum.
They were.
And right, and Brian Caver, who played for Seton Hall back in the day, also played at what was then called the Corson Catholic High School in Trenton. And we were very into our local guys, and we would write features on them and cover them. And my guess is Chris D'Amico, who was my sports editor at the time, said, "Go down and do a story on Caver." So I went down and did a story on Caver, and then they lost. And I think Chris probably was like, "Well, you got the credential. Might as well just go back." Like, it's not going to hurt me. I'm going to take it back down there. So off I go to sit behind the Duke bench, bench, mind you, for the Christian Laettner shot at the age of, 24. And, and it's funny because so many people that I now know who are friends of mine in the business were at that game who I didn't know then. It's bananas. Right. I mean, including Girardi. All these guys, people I did not have a clue who they were because I was just a goofball. I hadn't, I didn't know what I was doing. There I am covering that. Thank God I can't seem to find the article I wrote because I'm sure it's awful.
That's why I've tried to burn some tapes from the early years.
Right.
I've got a sidebar on that game. I wasn't at the game. I was watching it on TV. But there's the incident in that game where Christian Laettner puts his sneaker into the chest of Amino Timberlake.
Yep.
Well, that year, Penn State played in the Cuppenheimer Classic, and they played at the Old Omni in Atlanta. Penn State played Georgia. The other half of the doubleheader was Kentucky, Georgia Tech. So they put us at a banquet. Back then they used to do banquets. And Tim Brando was the MC of it. And they put a player from each team at a table with a whole group of us, whatever. And the player sitting right next to me that I talked to for 2 hours was Amino Timberlake.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. You only knew then what you ended up knowing later.
Right. I mean, 3 months later, he's got a sneaker in his chest.
and someone made an amazing point, I think, on Twitter at some point. I read it. Had that game been played now with instant replay, Christian Laettner wouldn't have been in the game to make the shot. He would have been tossed. Right.
He'd been tossed. Yep, he'd have been tossed. He would have been given a flagrant two and would have been gone.
It's incredible if you think about that. There's no chance he would have been in the game. And think of all the things in history that don't occur because of that.
Crazy. Exactly. Crazy. It is crazy. Dana, always a pleasure.
Thank you. Be safe, be well.
I know it was 10 months ago since I last saw you. So
I said, I saw you at St. Elmo's on whatever it was, March 11th. I said to Girardi the other day, I'm like, I think that was a couple of weeks ago, but it also could have been 6 years ago. I can't remember.
I can't remember. My best to you. I know. My best to you and your family.
You as well. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Dana. Dana O'Neill, The Athletic. Nate Bauer, next half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Dana O'Neill is a Penn State grad and is not just good at what she does, she is a great reporter and writer. I did not look up her 1992 article in the Trentonian. I have no idea where to find it, but I'm sure it was a lot better than she thought it was. But obviously, she has become one of the best in the business now working for The Athletic. You do get to a point in your career, for example, when we were in Indianapolis, she was talking about, all of us at St. Elmo's that night. It was Brendan Quinn was there, Pat Forty, Dick Girardi, her. I was at another table. Then I went over and joined them for a little bit. Paul Keels from the Ohio State Network was also at the table next to us and with Ronnie Stokes and Skip Mossick. And she had just had a sit-down with Mark Emmert. And again, you get to a point where The Athletic calls up and Dana O'Neill wants to talk to you. You open up the time and you figure out a way to make sure that you talk to Dana O'Neill. That's how much respect she commands. And, of course, Pat Forty is with Sports Illustrated. And the two of them were there together for that. So that's, she's just put together an outstanding career because she is that good and she is that honest. And that's the key. She had her credibility, and that's what you need. You need integrity and you need credibility. She has a lot of both, and we're great to have her on. Somebody else who fits that category, by the way, is Nate Bauer, Blue Illustrated. We will talk with him in the next half hour. We're going to talk about some Penn State basketball recruiting. Brent Pry is teleconference, which you will hear tomorrow here on the show. Then a little bit later in the week, we're going to have Tyler Bowen. Same story. I know Sandy Barber's going to meet with the media a little bit later this week as well. I think she's meeting with the media on Thursday. And we might be able to get some of that on Friday for you. Great to have you with us today on the show. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget that great service department at Sunbury Motors. They do great work. Steve Jones with you, along with Matt Cotrillo, who thinks it's 1956 all over again. Only one team makes the playoffs.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great service department, as always, at Sunbury Motors. Always fair with the price, always great with the work. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we're getting suggestions on Twitter as to what I can do with my time.
Yes, exactly. Ron on Twitter says, Steve Jones needs to be doing this for PSU in quarantine. Hashtag play-by-play of anything at all. Which, of course, guys like Joe Buck, Michael Kay, who does the Yankees on Yes, has done that already. It's starting to be a trending thing with all play-by-play broadcasters, so I am definitely all for this. We need to make this happen.
Okay.
Send it to us on social media, and we'll get Steve to do it. I said to you during break that that you should do play-by-play of Lisa and me giving Luke a bath, because I think that'd be really entertaining.
Does Luke like bath time?
Oh, he loves bath time. It's his happiest time of the day. Oh, yeah.
Kicking his legs, splashing in the water?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Wow. That's great. But the last time I saw anybody kicking and screaming like that, he had the back corner office. All right, so... No, that's not funny. No?
You should at least do play-by-play of your grandkids. Next time you see them, you should do it.
Well, I have three of them here, and then the other three, I spend FaceTime with them. And two are in upstate New York, and one's in New Hampshire. So, thank goodness for FaceTime.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my two children that live in Virginia... Now, we got to figure out a way to get something. And neither one has FaceTime. So I got to figure out something. I don't know, Skype or Zoom or something like that. I don't know. We'll have to figure something out. You know, because we talk to them all the time. We talked to my son yesterday and my daughter this morning. But I don't know. We'll have to do that. So Ron wants me to do play-by-play of something. All right. Okay. All right. Already he has gone out and he has bought a series of golf-size wiffle balls to hit in the backyard, and his handicap is down to 2. That is Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated.
Steve, you know, it doesn't inspire confidence when Yakety Sax is the intro music.
Sorry. We hit the computer on the side. All the parts are from the Soviet Union.
What am I getting myself into?
That's what it came out. No, that's what we do. We try not to inspire any confidence.
The circus has arrived.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm actually can I'm in that odd position about when it comes to recruiting, because transfers are recruiting. But
sure.
I think everybody knows that Penn State was able to get a transfer.
Sure.
You could talk about them, and I'm going to say this. I read your very thoughtful article about him, and then I looked and see, well, okay, what they think of the article. And I've got a feeling that your audience has no clue who this guy is. Like I'm talking like no clue.
Yeah. Well, you know,
they have no idea how good this kid is.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because he just wasn't. So the kid's name is Sam Sessoms. And he's from Birmingham,
Binghamton.
The bees got switched up there. No, but so, you know, he didn't have any offers coming out of high school. Like, that's kind of the gist here, is he was not on the recruiting radar for the most part coming out of high school. He played alongside a couple of big names, at least I've gathered, on the AAU circuit, but he just didn't have a ton of attention. So, you know, lands in Binghamton and is great. I mean, excellent in the America East Conference. You know, I don't know, what are we calling that, mid-major or low major?
He went to a Power 5 school in the end.
Exactly. But you know, I mean, that's kind of how people are going to have to grasp this, is how that translates, right? So rookie of the year, his freshman year in that conference, he was a third-team all-conference player that year. This past season, he was a second-team all-conference, guy. He's undersized, 5'11", 6', but he is a lead guard. Right, in the way that Penn State has not had a lead guard since Tony Carr. They haven't had a natural scoring point guard who can distribute and score and create his own shot and you know, has all that, the crafty toolbox, so to speak, offensively. They haven't had that since Tony. God love Jamari and everything he brings to the floor, especially defensively. But he's limited offensively. This kid is not that. This kid is explosive and dynamic. Averaged 19.4 points per game last season. So, you know, it just brings a totally different element, and you expect him to fill in and essentially step in because he'll have to sit a year. And so Jamari's a senior this coming season. Jamari will be gone. And then that's his position to kind of win as the point guard for the, what will that be, 21-22 season.
Yet, I will throw this out there.
What do you got?
Dennis Dodd, talking with him today, said the next thing that they'll probably bring up is name, image, and likeness.
Sure.
Okay. But then I asked him when they're going to bring up the one-time transfer rule.
Yep.
And that will be coming up right after that, according to him, based on the people he's talked to. So I would say that statement is correct, but that statement could change in a couple of months. How about that?
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, that's kind of how you have to approach everything right now, is, I mean, one-time transfer rule is only applicable if they're playing basketball next season.
Of course.
I mean, all of that, like, you know, you're, everybody's kind of flying blind right now. Put it this way, it's a bonus if he's able to play next year. If he's not, that's fine. That's kind of how, everything that I've gathered, it seems like that's their approach, is that he will have to sit. But if that changes,
right,
and
no,
he's not, and he doesn't have to, then yeah, that, you know, it kind of it helps fill an immediate need, because at that point, maybe MJ doesn't have to shoulder some of that load as much at the point.
And again, that's under current rules that you're talking about, and the current rules that's the way it would be. Because I know when names started popping up on, I look at the football portal, because I'm trying to put together stuff for football season. We've got to see what guys have left, what teams, and where they've gone. So you got to see what's going on in terms of who Penn State is playing. The same thing in basketball. I saw his name pop up. I went, okay. That one deserves a long look.
Yeah,
and that was what was that, 2.5 weeks ago? I told you that. I wasn't you. I told Thomas that.
Yeah, He was March 11th, I think, was the date that he entered the portal.
Yeah. So that's interesting. How much more activity do you expect here in this offseason?
That's a great question. Because, look.
We try to ask the really good ones.
Yeah, no. But,
no, I'm just kidding.
Did we know from the outside, that Rozier Bolton would be in the transfer portal last year? If you're plugged in as you are, then maybe you knew. But
I'll just snicker and move on.
Yeah, exactly. So put it this way: nothing has been reported. But you just never know. That's bottom line reality is you just never know. And so whether or not there's more movement for Penn State depends on movement within Penn State,
sure,
right? Because they're filled. They're at 13.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As it presently stands, and so whatever would come in the future would have to be as a result of moves that are made from the roster currently consists. Look, Pat has been blatant about it. And said so in his most recent, we had a teleconference with him 10 days ago, 11 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And big man.
Mm-hmm.
They need, doesn't have to be a center, but you got to fill that 4/5, somebody that can play the 5.
Right.
They are in dire need of some help there. So, I would anticipate that they'll continue to be open and, see where things stand. Obviously, the kid, Marfo, that ended up at Texas A&M a little bit of a miss there. I think they were really hoping to get him. He was an excellent rebounder.
Yes.
The way that Pat described it is, kind of exactly what it is. You look at your weaknesses. You look at the areas. Yes, you're losing Lamar Stevens. What do you have currently that can help give you some of those numbers? Because ultimately, it's so funny because it sounds clinical, but there's a real money ball aspect to all of this. Where are your numbers coming from?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going? They found a formula this year, right, that had a lot of success. How do you duplicate that formula? How do you get that back, even though you're losing a couple of pieces in Watkins and obviously Lamar, but even Curtis Jones? Like, how do you fulfill those things to get back to that, 75, 76 points a game? Like, where is that going to come from?
Mm-hmm. Were you on the Brent Pry?
I was
Zoom this morning.
I was. Okay. Yeah, I was in the Brady Bunch, the tiled out faces, all from our living rooms.
Wonderful. I want to ask you about a specific player because I know we did get into this, and that is you have to have guys that can fit what you want to do. The move of Trent Gordon from corner to safety, what did Brent think about, and what were the important factors in making that move?
Yeah, the way he phrased it was kind of interesting because he was just talking about checking off boxes, right?
Yes.
And so, he declined to get into the specifics because, obviously every coach – and I'm not knocking on Brent here, but like every coach thinks that their stuff is proprietary, right?
Mm-hmm.
their formula is the one that is better than anybody else's. So they don't want to give away any state secrets, but there are differences in how they evaluate corners and safeties, obviously,
sure,
but also even within corners, the field corner and the boundary corner. The field safety and the boundary safety. And so when they were evaluating Trent and when they were evaluating their corners, he basically said that Trent, they realized Trent ticked off more boxes as a safety than he did currently as a corner.
Well, he also may have ticked off, was able to check off more boxes on his ability to be a safety versus somebody else's ability to be a safety.
Absolutely. Which aligns again. You're looking at two different things, because one is roster management, right? So how are your scholarships distributed?
Sure. Yep.
What's the talent, and where do all of those pieces fit? And if the two align, where not only do you have a player who his attributes fit better for a position change, but you also need or you have a vacancy, at that position, then when those two things align, that's when you make a move, and that's mm-hmm. what they did.
When you are the linebacking coach and you have Micah Parsons in your room, what does that mean for you?
It means that he's more than a linebacker.
Yeah.
Is essentially what Pry said today. And you've got to be comfortable with that, because obviously as the position coach, there's competition even within a coaching staff, right? Like you want your position group to succeed, obviously. Yeah. And as you do, if you're the coordinator, you want every position group to succeed.
And we succeed, and we succeed because we stay on time. And I'm going to have to take a break.
There it is.
Okay. Hey, good luck. I mean, when we talk next week, keep doing the wiffle ball thing. I think you'll be down to a one-handed gap.
I'm going to break down and buy a little outdoor chipping mat and a little outdoor chipping net. And that will have to placate me. That's all there is.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. See you.
Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. And yes, we will take that break and come back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Thanks to Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Tomorrow we're going to hear Brent Pry, who talked with the media today about some of the ideas he has for the Penn State defense. Talk about some of the individuals. We'll talk about Trent Gordon and making that move from corner to safety, and more about Micah Parsons. So we'll hear from Brent Pry on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And then Tyler Bowen, probably hear from him on the Thursday show, get the offensive perspective. And then Sandy Barber, I know, is going to be talking with the media later in the week as well. Interesting times. Interesting times. Look, nobody's making any illusions here that the next 2 weeks are going to be great. But at some point, we are going to turn the corner. At some point, we will turn the corner. And I know that now that I've obviously been committed to describing Luke Cotrillo's bath time, I mean, it's enough. Yes. You could play it back for him years from now and embarrass the heck out of him at his wedding.
Absolutely.
That's what dads are supposed to do.
So I've been told.
I told you the story about when my son Chris got married last year. So at Chris and Angela's reception. Now, this is the fifth one. Okay? And I'll tell you, this was great. I go into the parking lot. We're walking in, and Tom and Julie McGrath, Gary and Amy Goloshevsky, Randy and Mary Ellen Isles, and John and Mary Faust. They're tailgating in the church parking lot. It was the greatest thing going. Like tailgating. So I said, now this is the group I'm going to weddings with. I know I didn't. So Jack Ham and Dick Girardi were at the reception. And so the three of us were chit-chatting. And I think it was Jack that said, he says, well, he said, that's five. He says, it's good. He says, I was down to my last toaster. And I said to him, I said, Jack, so I want to tell you what the ground rules are for this reception. The first half of the reception will be for Chris and Angela. The second half of the reception's for me. He goes, after five of them, I said, I'm done. I did my part. I did my part. Oh, my goodness. All right, but look, we'll get out of this. This is obviously something none of us have ever had to go through before. But we'll get out of it. And when we do, do everything we can to get ourselves back into our normal routine. Believe me, for each one of you that has been stung by this, whether it happens to be the actual disease itself or circumstance at a job, believe me, we think about you every hour of every day. We don't do this show every day, and not one time do I ever walk in here and not think about you. So the NFL, let's see, very quickly, NFL executives are planning for the season to start on time. No symptoms for the Lakers after a two-week quarantine, so that's good. Chris Godwin gave up his number 12 to Tom Brady. Godwin will now wear 14. And NFL owners, against Matt Cotrillo's wishes, expand the playoffs. Cotrillo just wants to see the AFL back in existence to play the NFL. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.